Peter John Mitchell is the senior researcher at the Institute of Marriage and Family of Canada. He wrote about this yesterday online. This is where I read it. How are you?
Good, thank you, Gary. Thanks.
So we're not responsible anymore. Ooh, I feel so much better. It's up to the kids.
Yeah, certainly the legislation seems to be sending the wrong message. It suggests that students must report any bullying that they witness, whether that happens after hours, online, pretty much anywhere. They're responsible for reporting that to the school or face suspension. And so essentially the legislation is asking students to police the internet on the school's behalf under the threat of suspension. And I think that is essentially saying and essentially declaring that we are no longer on the playground as adults. We are now leaving it up to kids to police themselves. And I don't think it's going to be very effective at all.
Well, if kids are being bullied and they're afraid, how is this going to help them? How is this going to help them stand up to them by saying, okay, now it's now all on you? That's the part that baffles me. Does that not do the reverse, Peter? Does that not put more pressure on them?
I think it does put more pressure on them because it's obviously they're facing punishment if they don't intervene. And that's not to say that there isn't a role for bystanders to play in addressing bullying, to tell somebody if they see it or to step in. But there are situations where they, if they step in and intervene, they also make themselves possibly a victim of bullying as well. And I think that it's the message, the undertone, the underlying message that it sends that we have sort of lost control here. We are not present on the internet, and so it's up to kids to kind of police themselves. And I think a lot of our cyberbullying intervention in particular is a lot like trying to referee a soccer match from outside the stadium. We're essentially coaching kids up. We're giving them sort of the tips and techniques, telling them to stay safe and to, you know, treat one another kindly, and then we're sending them off into the arena where they're pretty much on their own. And I think that's a problem. I think cyberbullying thrives because there is a lack of adults and adult supervision.
So how do we fix it then? Is there an easy solution I'm missing here?
I don't think there is an easy solution by far, and I think that's why so many of our attempts through legislation kind of come out this way and sound a little bit off to us. But I think there are some things that parents can do. Probably the first and foremost thing is that relationship between parents and their kids, and just building that relationship, and that happens in the little moments and it happens over the long haul. But looking at the research on family involvement in bullying, we know that family life and family environment can contribute to making bullies, but we also know that it can protect kids from becoming bullies, and very importantly, that a healthy family life and a family environment can actually shield kids and mediate some of the harmful effects of kids who are bullied as well. So family plays a key role in just having those secure relationships, those secure attachments. And I think the other part of that, too, is parents' involvement in media use and modeling media use. Now, with today's internet-equipped devices that are mobile, parents are not going to be able to be present with their kids all the time online. They're not going to be able to see everything, but they do have an opportunity to control how media is used within their own home. So one, I think, important step is for parents to model appropriate media use and multimedia use. And certainly a lot of us are on our Blackberries and on our iPhones and that sort of thing. So being maybe a little more proactive in how we use those devices, maybe there's a certain time at night that those things get turned off and get charged in a central location. Everybody charges up, mom and dad too. We all get off those devices for a time. We do know from research that where there are in homes where there's fewer media devices, there tend to be more guidelines, and parents tend to be more intentional about those guidelines. And parents who are more intentional about media use tend to be more familiar with the use of those devices and how they work. They also are more likely to encourage alternative activities and to be able to enforce, as I said, enforce those family guidelines about media use. And so those are some ways that we can kind of protect kids when they're online.
I'm a big fan of being proactive. I think that's brilliant. I agree with everything you said. I'm also a big fan of being reactive. I'm also a big fan of when the bullies do appear, making a penalty worthwhile and not just embarrass them, not just take away their smartphone for a week. I want to see some actual penalties put in place, and I want to see some insensitivity training, as one emailer just said to me. That's what we need here, is insensitivity training.
Yeah, I think for kids, bullying really is asserting dominance by exploiting vulnerability in other people. And for some people, I mean, some of our human nature is to take opportunities to exploit others. People default about it. But for some bullies, it really goes much deeper. And it can be very difficult to, shame a bully, for instance, because they just turn around and take it out on somebody else. So, yeah, holding bullies accountable is certainly part of that. I think one of the struggles, too, is what role do parents play in protecting their children and also being just aware of their own children's use. We're going to be releasing a report on Monday just looking at the role of family in bullying. And one of the things that we found through just reading through the other research and the literature on this topic is that very few parents of bullies actually recognize or realize that their son or daughter is involved in bullying. And in particular, when bullying is not a physical nature, but of what we might call like social exclusion and very sort of underlying kind of ways of exploiting vulnerabilities, it's very hard to detect. And a lot of times parents are a little bit clueless as to what their own kids are doing. So that presents a significant challenge. In Nova Scotia, there's a private members bill that would attempt to hold parents accountable, liable both civilly and liable for fines for cyberbullying of their students. I'm not sure that's going to be helpful. I understand the motive behind it. I'm not sure that's going to be helpful. I think the human tendency, but just because so many parents are unaware of what their kids are doing online, part of that private members bill would suggest that if parents know that it's happening, they don't do anything, they would be held liable. But I think many parents are unaware of what's happening online and what their students are, what their children are involved in. And I'm not sure the government can necessarily compel parents to be good parents. I'm not sure those attempts are necessarily always successful.
And, usually the parents that need it the most recognize it the least.
Well, that's the thing as well, right? And that's it's very hard to legislate good parenting because good parents are already doing
already
it well.
There. Peter, you and I are at different stages of life because my kids are grown and gone. Like, we're empty nesters now. But back in the day when my kids were young boys, and I coached both of them in minor soccer for years, and if I had a problem kid on the team, a kid that with an attitude or was overly aggressive or who would constantly insult other players, the trash talk thing at 9, 10 years old, I only had to look at the sidelines and listen to what his dad was saying.
Yeah.
So those are the ones where, if you want to know, because I agree, I think it all starts with the family, but the other side of the coin also starts with the family. If they see that attitude exhibited, that's what they're going to think is normal.
Yeah, and I think that's very true. Some bullies do certainly learn it at home, and often the literature would tell us that where there's homes, even where there's like a lack of warmth or emotional support, where individuals are not just their behaviors addressed, but where they're personally shamed, when parents are shaming parents or students, and where there's really a lack of supervision. Yeah, it does get modeled at home, and it ends up spilling over into the school environment. There is a role for coaches, and there is a role for volunteers and for other adults to kind of step in and to kind of come under these kids and kind of to be that authority figure in their life and to help sort of unmake bullies. I think that's certainly a role. I was sort of surprised and shocked to read the other day in a newspaper out in BC. BC has just actually introduced a whole new provincial program, an anti-bullying program, and the paper was interviewing one of these people that was trained to run this initiative, this anti-bullying initiative, and this individual was saying that they had talked to kids, and one of the things that they found was that kids felt more attached to the physical space in their school than to any adult in their school. And again, it just reminds me that our kids are living separate lives, sometimes even by design, from adults. And it's a pretty scary prospect to think that kids are going to school and feeling more attached to the physical space than to an adult in that space. And I think adults, we have to kind of reinsert ourselves into youth culture, into the culture of our kids, and rebuild those relationships. And I think that's a starting point, because where that adult presence is lacking, that's where bullying is going to thrive.
Well, there's a beautiful pencil drawing in the lobby at the radio station that's been here for years that on my last day of work, I'm taking it with me. So just so management knows, when they see that blank space, they'll know where to come and get it. And the saying on this pencil sketch is, it's easier to train a child than fix an adult. And I think that's so valid. And this is what I think as parents we have to do. We have to be active. We have to be engaged. We have to not be afraid to hurt little Johnny's feelings. We have to be able to say, this is right, this is wrong.
Yeah, I think it starts with parental engagement for sure. And where that's lacking, yeah, it seems to default to government trying to be a pseudo parent, and government makes a lousy parent. They can, they can, in terms of bullying, can compel schools to have guidelines and to have programs and to be reactive to bullying, which I think is helpful. But if we're really going to unmake bullies, then that is really going to involve parental involvement and adult involvement. And I don't think scaring bystanders into ratting out other kids is gonna change that. It may stop an incident, but it's not gonna unmake a bully. And we need to, as adults, we need to step in.
Perfect. Thanks, Peter. Good to talk again.
Thanks for having me on, Gary.
Hey, take care. Bye-bye. Peter John Mitchell from the Institute for Marriage and Family Canada.